Morning, Adam.
Good morning. How are you?
A delayed start from you today.
I've been here for ages.
Yeah, that you have. Just in the studio the last 10 seconds.
Oh, that gym session this morning was tough, wasn't
no,
it?
No, I know. No, that, I'm a bit sweaty this morning. I apologise if there's a bit of an odour. The Glen 20 might sort things out.
You were in the cubicle just down the way when we had the shower.
No, I didn't have any soap. Forgot to bring the soap. So that was a problem. That was a problem for me today. But it was... Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get through that one. That watt bike session. Poor, sweaty. Anyway, I'm feeling very fit today. How are you feeling?
No, I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really good.
Would you say that you would be a funambulist?
I beg your pardon?
Mm-hmm.
A what?
A funambulist.
A funambulist.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what that is.
Well, it's the favourite in Race 2 at Hawkesbury today.
Oh, right, okay.
But it was actually a word I came across last night. Somebody told me, do you know what a funambulist is? And I, a bit like you, said...
Ernest, with a T on the end.
Funambulist.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Does that change what you think?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Fan of an ambulance.
Funambulist. It's a tightrope walker. The person who walks on a tightrope is a funambulist.
Right.
And it's a very, very funny thing. And the world's a funny place because... I was introduced to this word last night by a colleague, and because he's got a new screensaver with words of the day sort of thing going across, and funambulist came up. And I said, what the hell's a funambulist? And he goes, ha-ha, glad you asked. And he told me that it was a tightrope walker. And then this morning, as I'm doing the introduction to the program, waiting for you to sit down and talk to me, there was a screen in the studios here in RSN 927 on Sky Channel, and race number two today at Hawkesbury. The favourite, $1.70, is funambulist. So I'd never come across this word in my life. And within the space of 12 hours, it's been prominent, very prominent twice.
It's a shame it's $1.70. You'd like it to be sort of $12 and it'd be an omen bet.
Well, absolutely. Let me just check the latest markets at tab.com.au. Yep, $1.70, fixed odds. It's only an 8-horse field. But if I was going to put a little multi on today, I'd be getting funambulist in there. 4-year-old gelding by New Bay. Annabel Neesham trains funambulist. Claiming two today. Last start winner at Hawkesbury. Over the 2,000 metres. Steps up to the 2,100 today. In the colours of Terry Henderson's OTI. Funambulist.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Gee, there's a lot of things to talk about this morning.
Is it?
I think there is. I think there's a lot of very interesting things that have happened in the last 24 hours.
Well,
where would you like to start? Because I've got a couple of things I'd like to put to the table, but you can start things.
I want to start with Luca.
Luca Kamani?
No, Luca.
Luca.
And the courage displayed by Luca.
No, I've got no idea where you're going with this one.
I thought you'd be all over this. The courage displayed by Luca, which is now has been sent across the globe. Certainly, he's Australia's favourite child at the moment after being assaulted by the Prime Minister in a soccer match yesterday. 7-year-old Luca down there in Tassie showed the courage of a nation to get squashed by the Prime Minister, literally squashed by the Prime Minister in a so-called friendly game of soccer, and then get up and continue on. And with a press release from the football club later on last evening, saying he did everything he could to stop the Prime Minister scoring. It was brilliant stuff from our 7-year-old Luca. He is the champion of the day, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm impressed with Scott Morrison because his ability to seek out that player and tackle him to the ground, he needs to be in Essendon's midfield on Saturday night against Richmond because he is a contested animal. He's a beast.
That was funny.
He's a bulldozer.
Well, no, Morrison's the bulldozer.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
He
that was funny. That was very
He
funny.
Lays pressure. He's a pressure player.
Poor old Luca. It was so good. That's one of the greatest pieces of footage.
I agree with
in the history of political campaigning anywhere on the planet.
Because there was always that John Howard moment of bowling the ball into his foot, pretty much. And that, because you always get the politician, playing sport in some way, shape, or form. I was actually quite impressed with Scott Morrison's kicking action. He was at the Norwood Footy Ground out near Eastland on Saturday, and he kicked the ball quite well. I was quite impressed. But things usually happen. Some silly crazy thing usually happens. I don't think I've seen something quite as extravagant as that. Particularly because it wasn't even rugby or football. It was actually soccer, but he still managed to manhandle someone to the ground.
He lost his balance, the chief. He lost his balance, the chief, and he just happened to have a soft cushioning blow. Poor old Luca was the cushion.
He was off, Scott.
I think that's brilliant.
I agree.
I laughed my guts out when I saw that last night.
I didn't realise it was Luca.
Yeah, Luca was our man.
Because it could have really ended badly.
A little ginger head boy, Luca, who will forever be remembered in the Australian community.
Do you see the little tap on the back from Scott once he realised he wasn't hurt? It was just a little tap on the back. Sorry, mate. And they kept going.
Well, that was the kicker. So he squashed him. Literally squashed the 7-year-old child and then does the death roll on him. Like, it's like an alligator, a crocodile underneath the water. He just got his prey. He just rolled him over. That was very funny. So well done to Luca. If anyone knows Luca, let us know. I'd like to get him on at some stage. That would be funny.
There is a good text. Boris Johnson's been involved in similar sort of things.
Has he squashed children too?
Oh, he's done some crazy stuff, that bloke.
Very funny.
Anyway.
Very funny stuff from Luca. So congratulations to him. That was magnificent work. I voted yesterday.
Did you?
I had to. I'm busy on Saturday. And my God.
A lot of people were doing what you were doing?
There was a few. There was a fair few. I had to line up for a little bit. Nowhere near the sausage lineup I'm going to require, or you would require on Saturday, I wouldn't think. But my God, the people who want to give you paper and tell you how to do things. My hat.
Well, you are in what I would describe as a hotly contested seat, Daniel.
I don't know anything about that. I've got a seat in my car. That's the only one I want to sit in at the moment. My hat. It was like going through. You know when you've done. It's like being in a ticker tape parade without the ticker tape. Just be pamphlets of paper, and they were really close to you. And so you'd walk from the car, which was a bit of a walk because there were so many people, to the polling booth. And I reckon, without word of a lie, there would have been 100, 120 people trying to give me stuff.
120 people?
I'm telling you, they were everywhere.
How many of them were wearing teal T-shirts?
Well, they were teal, they were blue, they were red. There was all different colours of the rainbow. I'm serious, there would have been 100, 120 people there, lining the street, the footpath, just trying to give me stuff. And I'm like, what are you people doing?
So were you rude and just took the colour you wanted and moved on? Or did you
take anything?
Oh, you didn't take anything?
Well,
did you make any comments to any of them as you walked
past? I said, g'day. I said, good morning. I'm a friendly fella. I'm right, thanks. Pretty good for the moment, thanks. I'm right, thanks. I had to say that 100 times. There's a lot of people wanting to give me stuff.
Well, being a coach of the year as you are, that I'm sure there are a lot of people that were keen to just engage with you.
Well, the local member, the incumbent, was there.
Really?
He was there. He happens to have a level of involvement with the cup football club. And he didn't say anything to me, so he didn't get my vote.
Oh! That was a real photo opportunity gone begging for the man you're talking about.
Yes, funny guy. I couldn't believe the number of people who tried to give me stuff yesterday. It was outrageous.
Well, as I said, you're in a hotly contested seat, Daniel. So
I don't know what that means.
You do know what that means. Your vote is important.
What I am looking forward to is getting all these rude heads in the neighbourhood off billboards.
Yes, there is a lot in your area.
A lot of rude heads going around for all the parties. They can come down. Thanks very much. Don't need them in my world. So anyway, that was my story yesterday. What do you got for me?
What have I got for you? Well, the birthday celebrations finished last night, which was good. James,
oh yes,
day.
Was there dinner and a show?
No, there was the show and the dinner. As opposed to the dinner and the show. So he promised, he rang up all his cousins and uncles and aunties and grandparents and said, "You've got to come watch me play basketball because I'm going to put on a show, and then we're taking you out for dinner." So that was the premise of that's what he wanted to do.
So what was the show like?
The show was exceptionally big. Put on the show.
Did he?
The 450 at the Templestowe basketball courts. So it went down. because they had Michael Jordan playing for the opposition, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Oh, he just completely dominated. Fantastic. He actually ruined the game.
Fantastic.
You know, because this is under eights, that's under sevens even.
That was me.
You know, they just take the ball and just go down the other court and put it in. And then he ruins the game because even his teammates, they prospered when he wasn't on the court because others got the ball. It's just so, you know, it's almost like the coach has got to tell him he gets extra points or whatever if he passes. So he just takes it off the opposition, he takes it off his own teammates, he just goes up, puts it in.
Anyway, well, you can do that after you set the lead up, maybe.
Yeah, so anyway, James scored 4 of the 6 points for his team, so there was great goal celebrations. Low scoring affair. It's under sevens.
Low scoring affair.
Yes, and then we were off for dinner, and there we go.
We had Mexican?
No. He's having that next week. He's having a secondary sort of
thing. You can't have that. This is...
No, because it's a school day.
You're creating a very, very difficult culture to continue.
It's a festival.
Continue.
We have festivals in our house.
Yeah, it's a difficult culture to continue.
No, festivals.
Concerned about you.
So, anyway, I saw one of the most extraordinary things last night in sport. The fact that Cody Simpson has done that well that he's going to represent Australia at the Commonwealth Games and the World Championships in swimming, a pop star, because that's what he is.
Well, he was.
A pop star has decided, you know what? I'm going to become a professional swimmer. I just find it quite hard to fathom how big this story is.
Well, of course, you would have loved him in his time as the Masked Singer.
Well, that's right.
Which would have been your highlight in your interactions with Cody.
Exactly right. He shocked the world when he took off his...
Is this him? Is this Masked Singer? No. What's this?
This is him.
This isn't actually English. We're just making noises here. Da 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 do. Just crank it up just a little bit for a trip.
What is this? No, that's English.
Well, I know that, but
what's that thing do? What do they do when they just gibberish sort of singing? There's a word for that, where they just start
a bit of scat sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Anyway,
it's not quite like it, but yeah,
he's kind of
freestyle.
No, hey, what about Trent getting involved? Fantastic.
And no, it's not Trent, so take your microphone off.
No, keep it on. Just jump in. Jump in. This is more of this. I like to jump in.
This is real sort of FM type stuff.
Absolutely. I like that. Back in the game, please.
So Cody Simpson, he went out with your girl, didn't
Miley Cyrus.
He? Miley Cyrus.
I want to talk to him about that.
He's all that sort of stuff.
I've got a crush on Miley.
And now he's representing Australia. And he was a swimmer, but as a kid, like we're talking 10 years ago when he was 14 or 15.
Yes.
And, he's come back and he's playing for Australia. Well, not playing for Australia, representing Australia.
Wikipedia has already upgraded his profile. Singer, actor, model, swimmer.
Yeah. So he finished third in his event last night, which had Cole Chalmers in it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So he swam faster in his heat, but did well enough for a time that puts him into the Commonwealth Games team and into the World Championship.
It's awesome. I reckon it's great. It's a fantastic story of what you can do when you apply yourself. Now, clearly he's got a gift and has a level of talent. But he's had to put himself in a position. This isn't just winning the school sports. Like, he's third in the national champs and is now going to be a World Championship swimmer. It is quite the remarkable story. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
And I understand that there are a lot of our listeners that would never have heard of Cody Simpson because, he's a 24-year-old pop star. And
he's never really gone global, so he's...
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Not from a music perspective.
Oh, I think he's... I mean, he's not a Elton John or a... Urban or someone like that, but he's...
Well, there you go, so he's not that big. He's bigger in the States than he is here.
Yes, well, that was going to be my point. He's bigger overseas than he is here.
Mm.
And on the mask thing, I think he was a robot.
Yeah, he was.
Was he? Yeah.
Yep. That's what Wikipedia just tells me.
Yeah, okay. And then Shana Jack has also made the team. Another great story that... I mean, she's been suspended for the last 2 years because of failing a drug test, and... Look, whether she did take something she shouldn't have or not, she vehemently denied the allegations and spent pretty much 2 years trying to prove her innocence. She couldn't. She's done the 2 years, and she's come back, and she's made the team as well. And I think that's an incredible performance as well.
It is, and we'll have a chat to Grant Hackett about that just before 8 o'clock this morning. You're right, they're the two biggest stories, without a doubt, at the Swim Champs last night. I just found out that his mum swam for Australia.
She did.
Always wanted to swim for Australia and was sidetracked for the better part of 10 years. Sidetracked. Becoming an international pop star is sidetracked. But she's been with me ever since I decided to come back. In fact, Hackey is one of his mentors. So he'll be pretty excited about chatting to us a little bit to before 8 o'clock this morning on that. Is this Masked Singer?
This is him as a robot. He's a robot, yeah.
You will grow, and until you grow, always a little own interpretation. I like that.
Yeah. See, that's good singing.
It's a great story.
Lindsay Lohan was really impressed.
Was she?
Yeah.
Was Millsy? Was Millsy on the last?
I'm not sure. So this is, you know, Darren Braithwaite would be proud.
Well, we should get into the Cox Plate. Would he wear the robot suit?
This is, I don't know, this is just amazing stuff. Anyway, so that's Cody Simpson.
Righto, and Shane and Jack.
So yep. I think that's... And the other thing that happened last night as well is that Mac Horton is back on the Australian team. Of course, we think of Mac as being one of the superstars of Australian sport, not just Australian swimming, as an Olympic gold medalist. But he didn't make the team for Tokyo at the Olympics last year, but he's back in the team too. So that was what happened last night. As you said, we'll speak to Grant Hackett, but... You know, what was once a massive event on the Australian sporting calendar that would be on at 7 o'clock, they'd put Temptation to the side on Channel 9 or Sail the Century to make sure it got prime time on Channel 9. Now sort of is off on one of these streaming services.
Love streaming.
But I still think it's a significant moment in sport last night, what we saw.
25 past 6, that is Whitey's review of the Swim Champs last night. We'll have
another good story
to Grant Hackett about that later on. Some feedback coming through off the SMS about Cody Simpson. I've never heard of him. And what is this? Kiss FM. And talk about cake. I don't know what talk about cake means. What does that mean? Did you have cake last night?
My word, we did. We had this cookie cake.
What?
This is new age birthday cake. It's like a cookie cake.
We need to find out more about that after this. Everybody get up.
This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
28 past 6. What sort of cake was it?
It was a cookie cake. Have you seen these things?
I don't understand what that means.
So it's like a massive soft cookie. So it's not really cake, but it's presented like a cake and you cut it like a cake and you eat it. Obviously, but it's a sort of a soft. It's almost not quite cookie dough, but nearly cookie dough.
Right.
I'll show you a photo during the next day break.
Right.
I must confess, I'm a big fan of them.
Did you ever see the footage of a tightrope walker walking across the Twin Towers when it was opened? I'm not doing that, says an SMS.
No.
That's a funambulist.
Do they hold the big stick?
Well, balance.
Does that help them? Obviously it would, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I just watched that tackle. What sport was Scotty playing? It's funny. It's so funny. It's so good. Just saying, I'd rather talk cake than listening to Cody the Warbler. Bloody good on him, though. Well, that's part of the story of the SMS. It's part of the story. You've got to have a little background. If you're going to talk about someone that has done a pretty cool thing from another field, well, then you've got to do a bit of background. It's about presenting a product, presenting a storyline. That's why we played a bit of Cody Simpson this morning, and he's worthy of it. If you're going to make a national team, I reckon you're worthy of playing your tune on The Masked Singer.
I agree.
Just my take on that.
I agree. Now, we talked earlier in the week about the fact that it's a major in the world of golf this week. It's the PGA Championship at Southern Hills, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mike Clayton liked that course, doesn't he?
He does. Well, it's a bit... They've changed it. So it's now a little, it might be a bit of a stretch here, but it's a little bit more what we would see in Australia on the sand belt. There's not as much of that thick rough. They've shaved around the greens, so you have to be a bit more imaginative with your short game. It's not as long as some of the other major championship courses, so they're saying that it's an approach golf course. And you need to be chipping and putting well to be a chance to win this week. So it's good. I think too often, and we were talking to Mike about this yesterday, too often you turn on the television and watch the golf in America and there's very similar looking golf courses every week, really thick rough. And
resort courses.
Yeah, but also just narrow fairways and thick rough that if you put it in there, you've got to sort of hit it out sideways, particularly when it comes to majors. Whereas this week it's a lot wider. We'll try and speak to Ben Everill tomorrow. I think we should do that because he's there.
Well, he would be.
Yeah, just to see what the course is like. Anyway, John Rahm was talking about why he's found a bit of form lately. And you know what he's put it down to?
Eating biscuits?
He's changed his golf shoes.
Right.
He's got different golf shoes and he reckons it's made a massive difference to his game of golf.
Where's he gone from?
I'm not sure. But you'd think sometimes, someone's made it. They made a swing change, or they've made an alignment change, or something. But he's changed his golf shoes, and he thinks he's playing much better as a result of that. Now,
how can a golf shoe change a game?
No, I don't know. But in the case of John, it makes a little bit more sense in that he was born with a club foot.
Oh, well, that makes a bit more sense.
So, I think he's had some, assistance along the way, operations or whatever, to make it as good as he can. But that's what he's done, and I just thought it was very interesting.
It is interesting, especially with the club foot situation.
Didn't you know that?
I did not know.
Yeah, that's why he swings a little bit different to a normal golfer's swing or normal professional golfer's swing. Because his swing is very unique.
There was something on a channel I was watching. Used to do a bit of a loop of his story. And I don't remember his club foot being a part of the story from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll take your word for that. Buster's on the road. Wants to talk about the golf this week. Hello, Buster.
Buddy. 24 hours from Tulsa. Gene Pitney used to sing it. If Whitney Houston had married him, she'd have been Whitney Pitney.
That's a real Rodney Rood sort of gag from you, Buster.
How are you?
Is
he going good?
We're going well, mate. How are you doing?
Going right. How's that weight loss going, Whitey?
Yeah, it's going well. It's going well.
Now, listen, when you come over to join a game of Barn Bugle, I'll get you a game of Barn Bugle anytime, okay?
Well, we will say yes to that, Buster.
Okay. Just let me know. Talk to Rock and just tell him you've been talking to Buster, okay?
Righto. We'll put that on the...
We'll go and do an outside broadcast.
Well, I don't care how we get there or why we're there. That'd be good fun. I will be there, and Buster's playing for the game.
That's it, Fair Deacon. I can do that for you easily, okay?
Righto. Good work. Happy with that. What do you think about Southern Hills, Buster?
Southern Hills, are right. They've changed a bit, as Whitey said, yeah, but it'll still be reasonably tough, I think. If it hardens out, it'll be hard to play, I reckon. One of the groups is not bad. It's Tiger Woods. What is it? Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy is the other one.
Oh, I haven't seen. I'll have a look. I'll check. I'll get that up. I'll find what that is.
I think it's Cam Smith.
No, it's not. Cam's in the group before, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to host the show, Buster? You know more about it than we do.
Have a good day. Keep smiling.
Good on you, Buster. What about Buster doing Rodney Rood gags? That's magnificent.
He actually sounded like Rodney Rood.
Did a bit. I tell you what, though, if we ever get down to Tassie, I'm dropping Buster's name.
No doubt.
We're going straight to Bunboogle. Straight to Bunboogle to find out if Buster can get us in. Now, I'm going to find that group for Buster. Where is he? He'd be in the morning, wouldn't he? Tiger, it'd be your morning start. Spieth, Woods, McIlroy. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that is a good field. I mean, because Jordan's Spieth's been playing very well. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, there you go.
Don from Clabram. Wants to talk some golf. Hello, Don.
Morning, Daniel. How are you? And Adam?
We're well, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. I just thought I'd let you know about probably one of Victoria's best-kept secrets for you two golfers. And it's Clabram Parkland Golf Club. We've got an 18-hole par 3 course.
I've heard you're having some sort of tournament coming up, Don.
Yeah, we are. Just that Victorian Par 3 Championship for 2022. The men's event's on the long weekend on Saturday the 11th and the 12th of June, which is a 54-hole event. And the women's event is on the 4th and 5th of June, which is a 36-hole event. Now, par 3 golf sort of the way to go, and this is a unique course. It's one of only two at the moment in Victoria. We've got average length of these par 3 course, holes at 154 metres, varying in length from 122 to 219. So it's a serious golf course, not a pitch and putt. So, you know, we'd just like you, and I'm sure it's a must-play course. And I reckon Adam and Daniel, you'd love to have a game here, and you could call it the Gamby Bakery on the way and make a day of it one day.
I've actually seen the, I must confess, I haven't played the golf course, but I have seen the golf course, and it is a beautiful place. There's no question about that. And as you say, it's unique because they are all par threes.
Exactly.
It's a par three course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but this is unusual. So, but it's not like, look, Daniel's trying to embarrass me here. No, because they could have easily brought the tees up onto the fairway and just had every hole as a par three. But this is a specific par three course.
This is a
hence
specific,
the name.
And Adam, as you say, it's a serious golf course. And, you know, some of these real gun golfers come and play in this Victorian Championships. And it's really one of Victoria's best-kept secrets. And really, for any serious golfer, it's a must-play. And you've never, the record at the moment is the golf course has never, ever been better. And it suggested, we had golfers here yesterday playing, and they said, this is the best-presented golf course in the Goulburn Valley. Now, we've got some good courses in the Goulburn
more
Valley.
Word. So, it's old country.
Well, that's all right. So that's June 11, 12, did you say?
Yes, it is. Entries for that event close on the 2nd of June, so time's running out. Anyone really wants to have a crack at these Victorian Par 3 Championships. And the ladies' event close on the 27th of May, so they're running out of time, but there's a few spots left.
Right.
And you two blokes, we'd just love to see you. I'm sure you'd enjoy your day up here. So any time at all, you're more than welcome.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that, no doubt. And funnily enough... I've always been a par 3 specialist, so
yeah,
a par 3 course
insane.
For me is perfect. Good on you. Thanks for that, June 11, 12, the Victorian Par 3 Championships at Kyabram. Check it out, Google it, and get yourself an entry if you want to be a part of it as well. Sounds like a nice way to spend a day on the golf course. It's a par 3 course, just by the way.
Yeah, every hole is a par 3. We should have this segment every day if some people ring up and just invite us to play golf somewhere.
I'm okay with that. So we've got Kyabram invited us, and we've got Bunboogle. Of this mess, it's not for all the listeners, just for us, says Buster. So that's nice.
And that's his, hey boys, I've got a trailer for sale if we're doing ad announcements.
Well, actually, I need a trailer. Can you let me know what it is? Send more messages through.
Buy, swap, and sell.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of Darren James action. One of the greats. I went to the Keon Classic with Darren and who was there that day? I hosted the lunch. Darren James is very funny. Very funny. His wife Kathy's very funny too. She had a crack at the president as he presented the trophy on the court. It was very funny. Very humorous stuff. Anyway, we digress. A par 3 tournament on a par 3 course. You wouldn't believe it. We need to get to a break. 22-7. There is something I want to throw to Matty Stewart, who's going to join us after this. And you'll be interested in the conversation as well. Something that disturbed me greatly last night.
Oh, what's Matt done now?
Disturbed me greatly.
Harford and White. It's RSN 97's Breakfast Club.
Extra time in the Europa League final. Frankfurt and Rangers after 93 minutes. It's one apiece. Frankfurt equalised after Rangers scored in about the 60th minute mark. Frankfurt equalised, and now we're going to extra time in the Europa League final. So more on that through the morning. Speaking of through the morning, we're going to be joined by the Australian cricket coach after 8 o'clock, Andrew McDonald. Now, I did ask if anyone's seen Ronald McDonald these days. When was the last time you saw him? I'd like to know the answer. If you got an SMS, let me know when you saw Ronald, because he's disappeared from the map, and I want to know why. The face of the food chain. Grant Hackett's going to join us before 8 o'clock to talk swimming with us. Some outstanding stories yesterday in the Australian Swim Champs. Tom Mitchell, the Brownlow medalist from the Hawks. John Aloisi, the coach of Western United, still to come on the program. Mark Stevens is with us on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Steve-O.
Speaking of half, and Speaking of programs, I'm looking through the program for the event tonight at Sandown, and there's some full page photography action. We're on page 4. We've got Gareth Hall. Page 6, Michael Felgate. Wonderfully produced photos, almost powder action. They look so good. No Daniel Harford.
Well, that's probably good for the punters, but the fact that we don't have a race today, tonight, Steve, at the RSN Sandown Cup meeting, is nothing short of a disgrace. And I blame you, as the producer of the program, to make sure that this stuff is all above board and we have impact on the community the way that you would like us to have it. I blame you for this.
Yeah, next year it will change. You'll be on page 2 half, maybe Whitey on page 8, and we might get Trent on the back page. Even the way we're going here was the ratings juggernaut. Look forward to the next ratings half.
Don't ever get too excited around here, mate.
It's got a roller coaster ride.
Don't ever get too excited.
But I just love that James Rain story. That made my day, Matty Stewart in the lift.
Have you ever found yourself in that situation?
I have, and I've got one message to those ladies. Don't be so reckless.
You've been working on that.
You can get caught out.
When was the last time you got caught out, Steve?
Well, you've got to be careful what you say. I love James Rain, though. And it's sad that he's 65. It's a sign for
Why is it sad?
Well, it shows we're all getting on.
He's going
all
right. He's going all right. He's sad for him. Be happy for him. Every day's a great day.
His brother had a morning TV show and part of Getaway.
Getaway. He was a good reporter. He didn't rely on cliches. He always had a bit of a sting in the tail with the Getaway stories. So, and it's my son's birthday tomorrow, half, and I think our celebrations tonight will be slightly different to James's little function.
Are you preempting the birthday bulletin?
No, I'm having to put 500 on the bar at the riser. So
500?
Yeah, it's the footy mates, local footy guys, so yeah. Costly, but do you think that's generous, Whitey?
Yeah, I do.
How old is he?
19. So he missed his 18th.
If he missed his 18th, then that's fair enough. I'll wear that.
So we'll make
you've
up for
saved
it
up for
a few quiet ones post-footy training Thursday night. So,
are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll have a couple, and then he'll want me out of there, Whitey.
I'm
you
surprised
know that.
He want you there at all.
Yeah, well, he won't want me there.
Well,
but I'll turn up anyway. Well, I'm putting 500 in. I'll have a couple of pots.
Yeah, I think you're entitled to a couple of pots, yeah. Just pots.
Yeah, and you'd be happy. You'd be probably having a couple of pots because
what have I done?
Well, it looks like the deal has been done with the AFLW CBA. Now, we revealed here exclusively that it was 100% pay rise. We're pretty close. It's more than 90%. So minimum 39,000 now, top tier 71,000. That's for 10 games. So it's pretty good cash. A good rise, and we believe that'll be ticked off. Well, it virtually has been. It'll be announced at 1 o'clock. So
the players have voted on that last night, I think.
Can we set that in stone? You'd have all the mail. Has it been ticked
off? I don't, but I think you could. I think you can set that in stone, Steve-O. Good result. Just a one-year bridging CBA, and I think what you'll find is that they will, at the end of the year when the boys' CBA finishes, that they'll all go in together and do it all together.
Right, yep.
And it'll all be one big one.
Yep, so a 93-94% pay rise, that's not bad, Whitey, is it?
Yeah, it's good.
Trent's looking at me thinking, gee, I wouldn't mind a 90% pay rise this year.
It would work for me too, just quietly. So if we can find a way to make that happen, that'd be great. But yes, that's good. Then we can all start to move on.
We can move on from that. And Indigenous All-Stars, looks like there could be a game probably next February half as a celebration of the Indigenous footy. We've seen the All-Stars play up in Darwin against sides. It could be, for instance, say 44 of the best Indigenous talent running around, perhaps.
All Indigenous?
Yes.
Okay, righto.
And perhaps an AFLW curtain raiser type situation, multicultural type work. So a celebration looming. It's going to be a fairly high-scoring affair, I would have thought.
All those sort of representative games through the years have been high scoring, haven't they? It's like the All-Star game in the NBA. It's just a festival of offense and attack.
Is that work, Whitey? You think players would be up for that? Would you turn up to watch an Indigenous All-Stars match?
Well, the NRL do it, don't they? They've had an Indigenous All-Star team. Who do they play? Who do they play? The NRL.
I think they've played a variety of different... There used to be one of those in the AFL years ago. They would play a team.
They did, as I said, up in Darwin. They'd play sort of a game, Richmond versus the All-Stars.
But not two Indigenous teams playing against each other.
No.
Like Lucy, which is what's been moved.
But there is a theory going around that footy needs something a bit extra half to spice things up, like these type of games, even another trophy.
Do you know what? I think that is, and I'm not, this is nothing against what you've just said, but I think that whole conversation about footy needs spicicing up is the biggest load of garbage.
Mm. I 100% agree.
In the history of mankind.
Well, I agree. I like this fact that it's a long burn, slow burn to get to the finals, but obviously people are getting impatient. Do they want the Escort Cup back or the National Panasonic Cup to give another trophy out, say, in May to keep people interested?
Oh, I can't work out this conversation. We need a mid-season round-robin series to spice things up for the mid-season trade period. Like absolute garbage. It's just more meaningless crap that no one will care about.
Attention span of people's drop, though, Whitey, just to go through a 22, 23-week grind to get to the finals. If you're a North Melbourne supporter, you're looking for a trophy.
I'm looking forward to the day we get 20 teams in 19 rounds. That's what I want.
That'd be perfect.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
I am.
Too many teams.
But less games.
Well, there's going to be 19, so you've got to go 20. That's what's going to happen. And then you have one game against each opponent, and that's your season.
I understand that, but I just think that 20 teams is too many. It's going to dilute the product so much, and I think we're already seeing it now. We're in round 9, and we're getting meaningless games, and that's hard work. And
there's always been meaningless games. We talked the other day about 1996.
And
through the 80s there was. But we get more cellar dwellers.
But there's only 6 games.
Yeah, so, that's even worse.
No, but like we're seeing it at the moment with the West Coast Eagles, that they're down to the bare bones with players and all this sort of stuff. And we're saying, oh, these players aren't up to it. Well, we get 2 more teams, and all of a sudden we've got 80 to 90 players that are scattered through the competition.
No, they'll reduce the list to 30. It's okay. 35. It'll still
might play.
You doing the numbers?
No, but it's the same numbers. It's the same pool of players, just spread over more.
Yeah,
more
but if
clubs.
There's injuries, they're going to have to go to top ups.
Yeah, but that's all right. We've got top ups now.
Don't be planning for injuries. Don't be the worst case scenario.
I'm an expansionist, Whitey, in life. I think outside. I widen myself.
God, speaking of crap,
that is crap. Let's move on. Xavier Campbell, who you know very well, Adam. I mean, how do you judge him? Is it the off field, which is going great at Essendon? They've got the new facility, the Hall of Fame issue coming up, the Indigenous Hall of Fame, sponsorships flying, but they haven't looked like really winning a final since he's been there. Now, Ross Lyon's been around footy a long time. He was on Footy Classified last night. This is how he judges Xavier Campbell.
I'm curious the timing. How could you possibly appoint someone who's got that KPI in the middle of what they're going through? He's been there since 2013. It's a very curious extension.
So that's a 2-year extension for Xavier Campbell.
Yep. It's a worthwhile observation from Roscoe, I reckon.
How do you judge a successful CEO?
That's the question.
Well, he's holistic, isn't it? No, but he seems to think that it's all about winning premierships, but I think it's the bottom line, basically, is the number one parameter and getting the club to survive, and it's the coach that wins you the premiership.
Well, the KPIs for a CEO would be set by the board, so we don't know what they are. We have no idea what they are. There has to be a football component to it. What level that is and what how much control they have over the performance of the team is clearly limited, but there has to be the KPIs are sent by the board.
But there's not one. It's not win a premiership. It's
KPIs.
Yeah. That would be one
plural,
of them.
That's plural.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's multiple. So I don't think it can be questioned that Xavier's done a great job from a financial perspective with the club, particularly for a club that hasn't been successful to keep sponsors, members, commercial, all that sort of stuff. But he has to be under some sort of pressure if it's now such a long time since not only Essendon have won a premiership, but since Essendon have won a final. You'd know the number of days since that's happened.
Over 6,000. Maybe 7,000.
But it's a holistic approach. And I know that he's done really good things in the community as well, which I know is a big part of Essendon's KPIs. So
it's a premiership business. They don't hand out awards for really community awards and sponsorship. Supporters get restless.
Well, there are clearly at Essendon, there are supporters that are restless because they haven't had success for a long time now.
There is some selection.
Blown's up.
What?
Yep. Four. Four coming across.
Where's this?
Is it look at them coming, Daniel.
What's the pattern that you talk about? The tooth hair?
The what?
The pattern.
No, Houndstooth.
Yeah, Houndstooth.
6,200.
What did you say?
Tooth hair. Close.
What's
well, it was something to do with it. Was something to do with teeth. But some selection news. Gary Rowan looks like coming straight back in.
I'd forgotten about Gary Rowan.
30-year-old, pretty handy sort of player to put into that Geelong forward line, which is already fairly dynamic. He's had back hip injuries. I know this is a Bulldog story, but we did break the
but just on Gary Rowan.
No.
Just on Gary Rowan. 6,469 days.
Wow. Gary Rowan won't be playing as a forward. I think he's coming back as a midfielder.
That's a big ask, coming in fresh.
But coming in as a different player too, because he's been forward for such a long time.
Right. Yeah, now, the Team English Bulldog story we broke, he was in hospital. My mail is now that he may not be back until round 11. That's how serious the flu was. So miss a couple more games. So miss this week, then miss a trip to Perth. That's how much it's been knocked around as far as his weight. So it's not just the normal flu going around, Huff.
No, half the world has got it.
But that'll be three, four games missed with an illness, which is extraordinary.
It's a long time.
And Hawthorn Pokies, they're getting out of the Pokies. Of course, Waverley Gardens, that great shopping centre out there. Whitey loves the food court there opposite Waverley Park. They're remaining there, 75 Pokies there, but 90 at Caroline Springs are going, which is a good thing for your Hawks, I think.
Gonski.
Take the cash and run. West Waters.
At Craigieburn or Caroline Springs?
Caroline Springs, one of the great gaming venues of the globe.
Is it?
I think so.
They got the Enchanted Forest there.
You actually did a sportsman's night out there one night. I got an envelope that was a lot smaller than Wayne Carey's at the end.
Did you play the Enchanted Forest, the poker machine, the Enchanted Forest?
I have
Forest?
No idea.
You get the eyes up and you get them in the reels 2, 3, and 4. It's just happy days.
Yeah.
The eyes, they sort of stare at you and they sort of blink.
Is there a favourite poker you go to every time?
That venue or machine?
Poke machine.
Yeah, but a lot of the good ones they don't have anymore.
Right.
It's an amazing conversation. Yes.
Enchanted Forest and Phantom Pays were similar machines, but had slight variances. But
that's right. Are you a play every line, play every combo type of guy, or you just play the one line?
There's a skill to it. There's a skill to it, Steve. You don't play one line.
A skill to it. Are you telling me that there's a you can be a skillful player?
I retired from poker machine playing.
Too good.
It's retired.
Yeah, it's because they take your cash.
I think we need to call John Aloisi.
Nice of John Longmire made a lot of sense yesterday too.
Can we talk about this?
No, I had another look at the Parker thing. I think that the more I look at that, that was just so insulting and so disappointing.
From who?
From Luke Parker.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You're not walking out.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay. Why?
It's just not his style. I've never seen him do that before. And if I was Dylan Sheil, I wouldn't have put up with it.
Yeah, but he did. Exactly.
What?
Steve, that's disappointing.
What's that? The movement?
Yeah.
I just think it went on too long.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mental disintegration. Mm. It's a very tough game out there.
Yeah, I know it's tough. But it just didn't look good.
Who didn't look good too?
Performance of a player.
For Luke Parker, but just thought it made him look a deal.
No.
But we're critical of players or for the game for being too sterile and having no characters and no sort of showmanship and those sorts of things, then we see it and then people want to whack him for it. This is what you want, that sort of stuff in the game. And at the end of the day, Luke Parker deserves to be able to say something like that or do something like that, because he's one of the toughest players in the game.
But it was unlike Luke Parker.
Well,
maybe it wasn't. Maybe you just haven't seen it before.
Yeah. But we don't know what he says out on the field. Mm. But he's an enforcer. Sydney themselves were under pressure going into that game because they'd been poor for the last month. He stood up as a leader of his football team and he got in the face and got under the skin of the opposition. Good on Luke Parker for sticking up for his teammates and firing them up.
Yep.
100% with you. If you can get in the head of an opponent and make them think about how they're playing and that affects their performance and they're not at their best, then you are the winner.
At
the end of the day, that's on Essendon, not on Luke Parker.
No, I didn't like what he did. And I've been known to have white line fever myself, but that wasn't a good look.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
No. Okay.
Harford and White. It's RSN 97's Breakfast Club.
You betcha it is. Grant Hackett not too far away for the Australian Swim Champs. Great stories coming out of that last night. And after 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by the coach of the Australian cricket team, Andrew McDonald. He's coming to the studio to have a chat, which is pretty cool. Looking forward to chatting with Ronnie and seeing how things are tracking ahead of possibly the busiest period in the history of Australian cricket. And he's now in charge. Good luck. A passport will need to be at the ready. Tom Mitchell doesn't need a passport at the moment, though. He just needs to be focused on winning the footy for the Hawks as they try and continue their developing season under Sam Mitchell. He's the Brownlow medalist. He's part of the Inner Sanctum, and he's back with us. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be back again.
Nice to be with you. We've missed you the last couple of weeks, and we want to know, are you feeling okay? Is everything all right? You were managed last week. What's going on, Tom?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. I've been a bit crook the last few weeks, so... I feel refreshed and, ready to go. I'll be down in Tassie against the Lions this week.
Is that one of that, the virus, the flu-y thing that's going around? You been hit by that or is it something else?
I think it was that. I got hit pretty hard leading into, I think it was the Essendon game. I was pretty sick. Probably wasn't right to play in the end, but, as an athlete, you try and put yourself out there to help your team. And then the following week, I just hadn't recovered. I was still sick going into that game. And so we decided to, it was a good chance to, have a rest and get my body right for this week.
So we've got the bye coming up in a couple of weeks' time for all the teams. I know you've been unwell, and that's one thing, but are you starting to feel the load of the year getting to that bye? Can you almost get to the point where you need to have a break?
Yeah, I think every player's a little bit different. Some guys just, happen to find a way to get through every game unscathed, and... that was actually, I think, the first game I've missed in about 5 years, apart from breaking my leg. So I'm normally quite endurable and sort of finish that boat. So the illness was sort of a rare one. But, yeah, I think, a lot of the older guys sort of look forward to the mid-season break because it does give you a refresh and a recalibration for the second half of the year.
Tom, we talked a bit about this with you last time about sort of playing a slightly different position or a different position at times in that sort of high half-forward role. Is that just... part of the way Mitch wants you to play and Jager's played a bit forward as well, or was it more based around you're not feeling too well, like that game against Essendon?
Yeah, probably a combination. We are rotating more through the forward line. So, it's giving a good opportunity to guys like Connor Nash and Warpole and Newcomb and Ward and these guys to get a run through the middle. So we're probably... sharing the load more than we have previously. And, Jagger and I have been playing a bit more up forward and, trying to impact the game up there.
Is that okay? Are you comfortable with that? Because we are used to you seeing a lot more time on ball. And I think back to that game in Tassie where you had such a big influence against Sydney early playing midfield and then all of a sudden you're playing forward and not being able to get those centre clearances. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, whatever the best thing for the team is. And it's a new challenge for me. Like, I obviously have played midfield my whole career pretty much. And, it's just about adding a string to my bow and seeing if I can impact the game in another area of the ground. So, that's still obviously something I'm learning and trying to get better at. And obviously I know I can play midfield when I'm called upon.
How do we get the best out of James Warpole? He's a bit of a conundrum for me because it's only a couple of years ago he was the youngest ever best and fairest winner at Hawthorn, and he is such a good player, but we haven't seen him play at that sort of level now for quite a while. And I know he lost his spot in the team there a bit earlier this year. Do you know how we can fix him?
Well, yeah, like you said, I think his ability is definitely there. It's just about how can we get it out of him, and I think sometimes confidence plays a part in that. And, when he's confident and bursting out of stoppages and things like that, that's when he's at his best. So we need to help him as teammates as well, get the best out of himself. And that goes for all of us as well. But, he does have some special attributes. Like he kicked a really long goal late in the Richmond game. He's got a really big boot on him as well. So, we're trying to help him out as much as we can.
Well, at the middle of the ground for where you little fellas do your work, I mean, it's often nice to be working with a consistent big man. And there hasn't been the case with the Hawks this year. Ben McAvoy's been out, Ned Reeves has been out, Maxi Lynch has gone in there in the last little while and done his thing. How much time does that take to start to build real chemistry with big rucks around the contest?
Yeah, well, I guess since I've been a Hawthorn, it's been Big Ben McAvoy, big boy. He's sort of been the one ruckman we've predominantly worked with, and in the preseason he was sort of training in other ends of the ground, and it was purely put up to Reevesy and Lynchy, who are going to be our rucks for the future, to fight for that spot. And you know, we've also figured out that they can play together. You know, if the guys are clunky marks up forward, that they can, you know, both play together. So we've just been, yeah, a bit unlucky in the ruck department with injury. So I think Reevesy is not too far away. He'll be getting back soon. Macca might be a bit longer, but hopefully the combination of Lynch and Reeves is a really good one for us.
So what's he been like around the club? Ben McAvoy is the captain of the footy club. He's out with a broken neck. He'd be enormously frustrated by that, I'm sure, but unable to do too much, I imagine, physically at the minute. But what's he been like from a leadership perspective?
Oh, he's, you know, he leads the charge in that regard, and I think he's still been having a big impact, you know, with meetings and, you know, helping guys individually and that as well. So he still has an impact. You know, we'd love to have him out there and out of that neck brace he's got on. Looks pretty uncomfortable. So I think he's getting that off today, actually. So it's a big day for him.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, hopefully he just builds up his strength and his upper body after that and not too far away from playing.
Well, that is good business for all the Hawks fans. Can I ask you on the overall mood of the place at the moment? Such a positive start to the year under Sam's reign there at the Hawks as the coach. Really good start, great energy, a really dynamic system of ball movement. But with the Hawks are 3-6 now after 9 rounds, has the mood changed a bit? Has a bit more reality set in, or how does it feel there at Waverley?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's tough. A few of those games, you know, we could have easily converted the win. Probably the only game we've, you know, had a blowout loss was St Kilda, but every other game we've been in a position to win the game. So I still see that as a positive. You know, we could easily be, you know, 5-4 or somewhere around there. And I think, you know, each month we do a review. So we've sort of gone away from reviewing the season at the halfway point and then resetting. We do it every month now. And I think, you know, having done that again on Monday, I think it was. Yeah, Monday, we've reset ourselves and, yeah, I think we'll be ready to bounce and play some more good footy.
One thing you have done, outside that Essendon game, I guess, and to a lesser extent the Sydney one, is that you fought games out. Even against Richmond, it looked like it was going to blow out and you found a way to get back into the game. Against Geelong, where it looked like it was slipping away, you found a way to win. There is something intangible about some of these younger players that they just fight it out to the end.
Yeah, I think that's a good sign. That's something we worked on throughout the pre-season, and yeah, we had some big sessions and we had to really fight to the end and push through those sessions. But yeah, I think the area we've identified is that, you know, we may have a lapse. It may be, you know, during a game, may not be at the end of a game, but it's there somewhere at the moment, and we need to try and eradicate that so that we can play full quarters.
Now, we were just having a robust debate in here before about Luke Parker and what he was saying to Dylan Shear last week. We're for it, Daniel and I. Steve-O was against it. That's like okay. We took him out of the studio. He wasn't allowed to stay in here. You're a former teammate of Luke Parker. Firstly, would you expect something like that from Luke, and are you comfortable with that in the game?
Well, I'm actually mates with both of them, funnily enough. So, I think externally in the media, I think it's been hyped up a lot. I don't think either player really is bothered by it, to be honest. I think, you know, some things are blown out of proportion. I think those sort of things happen all the time throughout games, and yeah, it's water off a duck's back, really. I think, you know, sledges and, you know, those sort of things. Like, the game moves on so quickly, I don't think the players are really too bothered by it. So I think it's more of a media thing that have, you know, made it bigger than what it is.
Pesky media. Always looking for to do stuff like
that. It's always Steve-O's fault.
Now, so your mates with both those, are they part of the ball magnet team, Dylan Shiel and Luke Parker, are they?
They've actually both featured, yeah. So, I'm not sure if we'll be able to get them together now. but, yeah, no, we've been very lucky. We had a lot of A-grade talent on the app, and, some good things coming. Obviously the app is free, and we've just created some in-season programs, which we think, you know, will be the best thing for all players, parents, coaches out there, and obviously heading into other sports as well, with the basketball, with Josh Giddey and some other big things happening. So the app's really growing, and, yeah, it's free for everyone out there. We love helping the community improve their game.
Adam, do your kids have the ball magnets?
No, but I'm just, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking that it might be something that we might need to have a look at.
My son has it.
Does he?
As do all his teammates.
Really?
My word. It is outstanding. Now, I know Mitch is on the line, but I can tell you, it is an outstanding product.
So, Tom, talk a bit more about this, because I was talking to my 9-year-old son without trying to be sort of like a Demir Dokic type, but about teaching him to get to more contests, teaching him where to position himself. Now, he's nine, so I've got to put things into perspective a little bit. But is that the sort of thing, someone like you that has had more possessions than anyone else in the history of the game, are those the sort of things that we can teach our own children about?
Yeah, I think so. That's what we're trying to steer towards. You know, obviously there's the lower level Oz kick, which is, you know, this is how you kick, this is how you handball. We think that stuff very basic. So we're trying to go to a more advanced level and, you know, teach things like game awareness, game preparation, like the higher level stuff, which, you know, I think people are really interested in. Like, everyone sort of knows how to kick and handball, and all that stuff's kind of boring, I think. And it's sort of how can we advance a little bit and show a bit more of what we actually work on at the top level to help the ages below. So Half's kids and his team got it. The Campbell Sharks, Half, how are they going this year?
Undefeated, Mitch, undefeated.
Who's coaching that team, Daniel?
Can't say too much.
Yeah, I heard the coaches doing a pretty good job down there.
Mm-hmm. Undefeated at this stage. Like we'd like to see the Hawks continue a development phase through this year in the AFL with a big challenge this week, Mitch. You've got the Brisbane Lions in Tassie at Launceston. It's going to be a test of where you're at after that month review, because they're pretty good, the Brisbane Lions, as it turns out.
Yeah, they're pretty good at footy, aren't they? So, yeah, they're going to be tough. They're up and going. I think they would have won their last five at least on the run. And, you know, we've lost our last few as well. So, yeah, the odds will be stacked against us. But, you know, hopefully we can bounce back. And, yeah, looking forward to getting down to Tassie.
Yeah, big challenge this week, 3:20 on Saturday at Sunday for the Launceston game between Hawthorn and the Brisbane Lions. Have you seen Mitch, the Sam variety, just sneaking a look at the app just to get some ideas for some drills?
Yeah, I've suggested it to him. I said, you know, maybe the ball magnets up is what could trigger our series winning a few games. So I might take a few drills at training today.
That's a good idea. Look forward to seeing you out there on the weekend, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tom Mitchell with us.